Good morning. Today is Monday. High school graduations are done. Jennifer Budwig is here. Hi.
Hi.
Is there a connection between those?
Just a lot of partying and a lot of celebrating. Lots of good stuff.
Yeah. Nice cover. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Why do we say that? Fire away.
Why do we say bandit?
Bandit. I don't know. Why do we say it?
Until recent centuries, few European states had effective police forces. A man who ventured outside a city would depend upon little or no protection from officers. In this situation, Italians discovered that banishment of the lawbreaker constituted a severe punishment. Brought before a crowd of residents, such a person was proclaimed to be a public enemy and was told that no town would give him shelter. He then had to leave the security of the walled city. Originally from the Latin bandire, meaning to proclaim, the subject of a formal proclamation was called a bandito. So far, no Frito chips are associated with this. Finding it difficult to survive alone, the bandito usually joined other outcasts. Bands of them lurked in the mountains of southern Europe. Forbidden to follow normal trades, they lived by robbery and murder. English visitors to Italy listened to the bandito tales and in the 16th century took the title back to the island kingdom. Used in a play from the stage into modern speech as a fit label for any armed robber. There you go. A little Latin on you.
I was going to say I need to brush up on my Latin next go around.
Yeah, or your botany.
I have yet to get one of those.
Well, that's all right. Few of us do.
I could buy the book.
You could.
Yeah.
But then what area are we going to cut to?
Exactly. Yeah. That's a lot of pages to memorize.
So with the volatility in the stock market that's going on, what does that mean? What does that mean to your area of financial assistance? Are you seeing issues, problems, challenges, opportunities? What's going on with the stock market going goofy and with the cost of money going up?
I don't know that it directly impacts the bank, other than I think there's something we refer to called flight to safety, which is basically people taking money out of the stock market and moving it into banks where they're going to put it in a CD, money market account, that kind of thing. And the reason for that is to protect the principal balance of it. And so their yield's going to be less from the standpoint of if you look at historical gains, right? But having said that, it does always ensure that your principal is going to be safe. And so there would be money moving from the stock market more back into banks because of the uncertainty within the market. So I would say that there's probably some of that going on. And then, you know, there's always that question, have we hit the bottom? Are we going to start to see some rebounds? You know, what about the sector that has probably been hit one of the hardest is going to be the tech sector. And so, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, that it was overinflated to start with. And so now we're just seeing an adjustment back to where it most likely should be. So what does that mean? And so I've heard a lot about, you know, okay, through the summer months, they're still expecting a lot of volatility with the stock market. Hopefully to see some stabilization in fall. But that's so difficult to say, too, because nobody really knows what direction things are going to go with gas and inflation and, you know, a lot of things that will drive the stock market. One of the things I thought was really interesting was they were talking about the top 20 richest people in America. And between them, they have lost over $500 billion in wealth since the beginning of the year. Elon Musk, as an example, $51 billion that he's lost in wealth since the beginning of January. And that's just based upon, you know, of course, what Tesla's doing and the drop in the value of Tesla and so forth. But, you know, they've all lost.
We would be impacted if that was us.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like $51 billion. He went from like $300 billion down to like $250 billion, give or take a few billion. And so, but they were saying that that's basically Switzerland's GDP is equivalent to what was lost since the beginning of the year with these top 20 richest people in America, which I thought was very interesting.
Not particularly applicable for many of us.
No, I wasn't one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah, they didn't add in $3 for me.
No.
So when people see that kind of thing, does that motivate them, demotivate them? Is that fear-inspiring, awe-inspiring? How does it play out on the consumer playground?
Well, I think it's fear-inspiring because there's a lot of people that have a lot of money in the stock market in their retirement. And so when you start looking at that and going, okay, you know, if you're nearing retirement and you're thinking I have 2-3 years left, maybe a year left, maybe 4-5 years left, and so you're kind of counting on, you know, your 401k retirement balance to maintain at a certain level. So, you know, so when you do start to dry out of it, that you can maintain your retirement and live life like you're wanting to and planning. Now, all of a sudden, if you see a significant decrease in that value, does that mean now you're going to have to work longer?
Yeah, you're pushing it out further.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so, and then what about people that have retired who, if, you know, there's a massive drop in their retirement funds, does that mean that they're going to have to really tighten up their belt and they're not going to be able to do a lot of things that they maybe couldn't? Is it a situation where they need to go back and get another job?
Well, that's kind of what happened in 2008, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a lot of people that ended up having to go back to work, and a lot of that was insurance benefits. I was really surprised to hear of how many people ended up having to go back to work because insurance was so expensive, and they were, you have to weigh all of that out, of course, with your Medicare and so forth, but
those things that we're striving to attain.
Yeah, to get to that magic golden number when you can, you know, and then your Social Security, of course, that's always questionable. You know, how much is actually going to be there by the time I retire, kind of a thing.
You're such a young thing.
Well, I've been told that they will never let the Social Security system collapse because it would just take down way too many Americans. But having said that, it doesn't mean they still couldn't decrease it.
It's not slowing them down with petroleum prices.
No.
The gas pump, is it?
No, apparently they're still going up.
Yeah.
Which is very concerning.
$8 a gallon in L.A.?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just scary.
And in the meantime, the state has, what, a $90-plus billion surplus? Something is awry in Denmark. That's another one of those. Why do we say that?
Oh, Fenmar.
I think it has to do with fish smell. just a thought. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this very morning with Redwood Capital Bank Senior Vice President, Commercial Lending?
Chief Lending Officer, Acting President and CEO, you want all of that.
No, the acting part, you know, the makeup just isn't carrying it. Sorry.
Okay. Well, then we'll go with that other part you said.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jennifer Budwig. We've talked in the past. You know, the marijuana thing is something that's interesting. And we got that industry it's not on its back, but it's certainly cratering, I think, would be a good term for a lot of them. And at the same time, we're hearing about small business confidence levels being at 50-year all-time lows. Okay, so two pretty heavy-duty things. And yet you look around our neck of the woods, and things are kind of feeling okay, maybe bubbling up a little bit, confident. When someone comes to the bank and is looking for a loan, how do you weigh the local sense versus the national sense and everything else that's in between? Because my understanding is it's not just numbers. It's some of the other things that are in there, too, that determine whether or not someone or an idea is loan-worthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's sentiment, right? Like, how are people feeling about the outlook of the county and the future of the economy of the county, how things are going to do here?
Well, how much do I want to risk as a potential loan taker?
Correct.
How much do you want to risk as a potential loan giver?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And I think right now that there is a lot of optimism in this area. You know, I mean, just because we have so many things that are in the process of moving forward that will stimulate our county on an economic level. You know, the Polytech piece, of course, is huge. I know we've talked about that before. And that is very well underway. That's
I've
over
heard
sure.
The fish farm is still, they're in year three of their permitting. And it's still in the permitting process? Is that?
Yeah. Well, the most recent thing that they had to undertake was the EIR. And actually, what's interesting about that is they technically did not have to do one, the environmental impact report. But I do have to give Nordic Aquafarms a lot of credit because I feel like they're doing a lot of things right from the standpoint of when they came to Humboldt County with this idea, you know, they really reached out to anyone and everyone they could to get feedback on, you know, what do you guys want as a county? What are your concerns? How can we address them? You know, how can we mitigate those concerns? And one of the biggest things that they were getting feedback on was that people wanted an EIR done. So that ended up delaying.
Which is really weird because my understanding, I mean, these guys did their pro formas. They know what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But an EIR is an opportunity for you to kind of show your hand and have people pick it apart.
Oh, 100%.
Rather than, I mean, it's not really a business document. It's more of a community attack document.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that could come out with that can create now a lot more obstacles than you had before it.
And elongate the process even further to the point of, okay, they're going to walk away because it...
Is it viable?
They want to get it going, and it doesn't look like people, or some people, want it to be done. So, it really is interesting that they... volunteered to do that.
Yeah. And again, I think it comes back to they were just feeling like this is what the community wanted. And they felt that they wanted to make sure that they had the blessing of the community to move forward with this project. So, and that added a good at least 9 months to the process, if not closer to a year by the time it was completed. And then they had to review it. It's like a 1,200 page report. And then my understanding was
be careful what you look for.
Yeah.
It may hit you on the head.
It was pretty extensive,
yeah.
You know. And so there were a few things that were brought out in that they're addressing. And so I believe that it's set to be going to the Planning Commission for approval soon. I mean, it's not very far out in terms of when they're supposed to be submitting that. If it gets turned down there, then it would be appealed to the Board of Supervisors. So anyway, so the good news is it is moving forward. But yes, it is taking quite some time. I think they're hoping to have a permit in hand by the end of the year.
Yeah, just having that surety
mm-hmm.
would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, they have to go in. And I don't know if you've ever been out to the site, but it's kind of a mess. You know, there's those really, really old buildings because it was a pulp mill. And so they're falling down. There's they've got that huge smokestack out there to contend with. So the construction, the deconstruction of what's out there right now is going to take quite a bit of time.
That'd be cool to see a big ball. A wrecking
ball.
Oh,
coming in and knocking all that stuff
well,
out.
Well, I'm sure that you saw the other tower go down, right? The other smokestack out there.
Yeah.
That would, it kind of becomes a something to do.
I don't know that they're taking the smokestack down, though. I think that they're actually preserving this one. I could be wrong on that. But they, one of the other things, too, I mean, this is a $500 million project. You know, they're looking at, and look at what construction costs have done in the meantime. So if they had started this process a year ago.
Probably about a $5 project.
It would have been a lot cheaper. So, I do give them a lot of credit. I feel like they're taking the right steps to try to do it. And the other thing, too, that a lot of the, when you look at the ancillary things that are going to come from that project, it's pretty cool. You know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for other businesses. You know, they're going to need a lot of trucks to transport, you know, the product out of here.
The secondary and tertiary
mm-hmm.
levels.
And there's quite a few of them. You know, so from a job creation standpoint, also business opportunities. Going back to your question, you know, I think that there's certainly going to be a lot of opportunities that come, you know, come from that. So, so I think it'll be a plus to our community.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll get to that point and they'll be able to still pencil it out and have it happen.
Yeah, because they're very committed at this point.
Yeah. It's cool stuff.
Yeah.
We'll talk about business confidence when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig, acting president of Redwood Capital Bank. But you're not even wearing the right shoes for acting.
You weren't supposed to look at my shoes. I forgot to change them.
Okay, never mind.
They're in comfy shoes.
Yeah. Business confidence is a big deal. We hear about that on a pretty regular basis. What about banker confidence? Is there such a thing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think banker confidence goes hand in hand with business confidence because if our businesses aren't succeeding, then we're not going to be succeeding, especially with the loan portfolio, because we're relying on repayment of our loan portfolio based upon the financial strength of our borrowers. So if all of a sudden we're in the middle of a recession and we have businesses that are really struggling, then all of a sudden now our past dues are going up and our delinquent credits are going up. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that impacts us in a lot of different directions. So, we're going to be looking at things a lot more optimistically when everything is looking good and golden on the horizon. And that kind of comes back to what we were talking about, where right now the county as a whole, I mean, we just have all these amazing projects going on. So I think from an economic standpoint, it looks really great. The other piece in this equation, though, is always housing. And so many times, you know, when these projects come up, it always circles back to, well, what are we going to do about housing? And so it definitely is a significant consideration and something that, you know, even though Humboldt State has, Polytech, I know.
Okay, you beat me to the punch.
It's been HSU forever, right? They have of that grant that they
HSC.
Got.
HSC. You don't remember that? You're not that young, are you?
No, but my dad played for them. Sorry, Brian.
I still have a T-shirt when I was going there and playing ball. Far Western Conference. And it's like half those schools I don't think even have basketball programs anymore, let alone, you know, the conference I think has probably been retitled two or three different times.
Oh, wow. You're dating yourself a little bit.
Yeah, though. Well, at least I have a date.
With yourself.
But the confidence, I can see permeates everything. Mm-hmm. And that would be logical. But when it comes to housing, you know, mm-hmm. you're still getting an awful lot of demand for purchasing of single-family homes.
Mm-hmm.
Does confidence get into that arena also? Mm-hmm. As you're looking at somebody's profile, because you know, if they're not running the store, they're just an employee in the store or retired. How does it make that? How does it bridge that gap?
Well, I mean, I think that's where your standard underwriting policies and procedures come into play. You know, in terms of like if somebody comes in and they want a home loan, then we're going to underwrite those based upon what the Fannie Mae criteria is, because those loans are sold to Fannie Mae in the secondary market, but we retain the servicing of it, but we have to write it to their underwriting criteria. And so that's a little more cut and dry because it's pretty specific, you know, in terms of this is what you have to have as far as your debt-to-income ratio goes. This is what your credit scores need to be. This is what your loan-to-value needs to be. And so it's pretty clear on what those parameters are. But again, those are driven more by Fannie Mae. But in terms of like on the commercial side of the house, you know, when we get loans, loan requests for like business loans, you know, I would say that's probably where that comes into play a little bit more. Just, you know, trying to fully understand, you know, that particular industry and how is that industry doing? What's the outlook for it? You know, those kinds of things.
So it's there and can be helpful, I guess, is a general guideline, but not specific if there are other outstanding requirements.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. Yeah. And then the other piece that, of course, is always kind of on our mind a little bit is going to be values, you know, because we've seen home values go up so much.
That's the goofy thing. So if you, let's use round figures, let's say if it's a $500,000 mm-hmm. or a million dollar home, and if everything is escalating at 18 to 22%, somewhere in that neighborhood a year, okay, so if you've got a 30-year note, I would tend to think that the risk is going to really minimize after about 2 or 3 years because the property, if you ever had to take it back, is now worth what, $1.3 million, $1.4 million, you know. That,
but that's also another presumption that that's going to continue, A, and B, that we're not going to have the opposite effect where all of a sudden if we go into a recession and now you just made a loan on a $1 million home and we hit a recession and now all of a sudden the values start going down and now that home is worth $800,000, then, you know, what does that mean in terms of your loan to value? And now you're underwater, and which is what we went through in 07, 08, 09.
Right. But we're not Detroit.
We're
not San Francisco. We're the place people are fleeing to.
And that's an absolute.
Even before Humboldt became Polytech.
Correct.
Doesn't seem like that is lessening at all as we've had mm-mm. these continue. Even if it is a national bubble. I think most of us are pretty convinced that Humboldt is going to be immune to that because of the attributes we have, the lack of fire, this new stability that's out there, this economic growth, the demand for houses. I mean, even if somebody defaulted, you'd be able to turn that thing so quickly that I would think that the risk would be really minimal. Fair or?
I think it's a very fair statement. And, you know, we may end up seeing, because I think the last I heard that they were anticipating a recession, 30 to 40% chance of recession in 2023 on a national level. But I don't think that we're going to feel that those kinds of numbers here.
Unless gas is driving the bus.
Yeah, because there could be some outside influences. Yeah, that we don't have any control over that could certainly.
We don't grow a lot of wheat around here.
No. Starts with a W, yeah. Has an E. Yeah. And so, you know, so I think with.
Only one E, no D. Sorry.
Well, that's another area, too, that there you hit on it earlier, but there's been a pretty significant decline in the price of cannabis. And so that's certainly hurting.
Gotta
a lot.
Gotta use
of,
the Latin term, huh?
It's
yeah, I knew you knew Latin.
Proper term.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig. Rates are an interesting thing. They were almost like a non-discussion for a couple of years. Now, all of a sudden, it's almost like a weekly discussion. You go to any of the financial websites, half-point increase, 3-4 times this year, boom, 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 got to stamp out inflation. I'm looking at it going, wait a minute. All you're doing is driving the price of goods up. How in the world is this going to stop inflation if you're continuing to throw gas on the fire?
Literally, gas on the fire. Gas.
You like that one?
I do
okay,
like that.
Good.
Because you're absolutely right. If that stuff doesn't get contained, then it doesn't matter what rates go to, because I don't know how much that's going to have an impact. I mean, at this point, going back to the real estate side of the house, where borrowing money is going to cost you, you know, our residential rates, I mean, those are.
We're 5.5 now?
Yeah. Non-owner occupied, you're 5.5 to 6. Owner occupied, you're 4.5 to 5. And so, which is, you know, so much higher than where, that's over double than where we were a year and a half ago. So in light of that, it's like, okay, with rates continuing to go up, and we know they're going to go up, you know, then going back to the real estate piece, somebody who might qualify for an $800,000 home today, maybe in 6 months, they're only going to qualify for a $700,000 home because of, you know, what the interest rates, what their payment is going to increase, and keep them still in check with their debt to income ratio. So,
are you seeing a lot of the debt or equity refugees coming here and either buying houses straight out or buying maybe needing 20% financing instead of having 20% to put down?
I think most of the things that we're seeing, so last year, I think it was a little over 30% of the houses that were sold in Humboldt were, it was cash. Like they just stroked a check for it and bought the house.
Really?
Yes, which is just mind-blowing. Yeah, it really is. But in part of that is, that's one of the reasons why so many people that are trying to buy houses that need financing for it are getting pushed out. Because if I'm a seller and I've got multiple offers in front of me, and one is a cash offer, 30-day escrow, no contingencies.
Don't have to screw around with any of the reports.
Yep. Don't have to do any of it. And compared to I get an offer and it's a 45-day escrow and there's a bank loan involved and we need all those reports, you know, on and on and on. Well, what are you going to take?
Even if it's $20,000 higher.
Yes.
Well, okay, is it worth it or cash in the hand?
Yeah, and so a lot of times they're going to take cash in the hand because it's a little bit more of a sure thing. So, you know, so that has been a big driver, I think, of this market as well. And in that scenario, you know, rates really aren't going to have an impact because they're not borrowing money.
Right, it's a non-factor.
Right, right. But
does trickle out into the others because then you've got the comps. So if the house is selling for, let's say, that $800,000 figure that you used instead of $825,000 financed, that could actually slow things down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so I wonder if it's the price or if it's days on market.
I think
that is the big prod right now.
Right. I think it's going to be a little bit of both. Because I think as rates continue up and there's, so I said 30% paid cash. Well, that means 70% did not. So 70% got loans. And, you know, that's where you're going to see that in terms of both. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see somewhat of a leveling of values. I don't think we're going to really see a decrease, or if we do, it's not going to be significant just because our inventory is still so low.
Is that 30-70 ratio? Is that a healthy one? Is it what is?
I think it's unusual. I don't think
it seems a little high, but.
I think it was high. I think if you were to go back and look at prior years, that I don't think that it would be quite that.
Yeah, I would think probably 1090.
I couldn't tell you offhand. But I would guess in that, because where this is coming from is it was also like 31% of the people that bought houses here locally were from out of the area. So I think there's a pretty considerable correlation there. And so much of that ties back to, you know, they sold their house for $1 million in
San
Francisco.
Yeah, big money down south, yeah.
And, yeah, or, you know, maybe they owed $500,000.
No, that would be a hovel, not a house. A million in San Francisco.
Oh.
A hovel, a starter, right?
Yeah, that would be an apartment.
Yeah.
A condo, one-bedroom condo.
Or maybe they cleared $1 million.
Yeah, maybe they cleared $1 million. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and then they come up here and they write a check and they get this big, beautiful home and they're, you know, they're off to the races and just happy as can be.
And a couple long ones in the bank just for good measure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, anyway, so, and then going back to days on market, it does sound like that we have seen some houses are coming down, you know, in terms of asking prices. And so, and I don't know if that's a result.
Down to reality, or they're getting what the listing price is rather than plus 20,000 or plus 50,000.
Well, I think that plays into it, because I think that because the market's been so hot that people, it's like, oh, well, my house is worth 900,000, so I'm going to throw out $1 million, hope I get it. And then if I don't, I'll drop it down. So, you know, so that could also lead to days on market a little bit.
It'll be interesting to see how the summer plays.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride, Brian.
Yeah, because now we've got not only the stuff going on, but we've got that thing called school break. Mm. So for some of those families looking to get out of the goofiness down south, here they come.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. Yeah. Who knows? Even the Eel River Valley might be able to benefit from it, huh?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
She almost said yes. All right. Thanks for coming
by. I'm going to say yes.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.